Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The Survivor Specialist Phil and Blake are back. And today we are recapping episode number one of the Survivor 48 premiere. Welcome back, everybody. Yeah, what's going on? Feels good. Feels good to be here. We're here. We made it. I'm talking about this at that, you know, excited level. I happened to be at the premiere event on Saturday night, so I was able to see this ahead of time, and it was really killing me that I couldn't tell Blake that Stephanie was the first boot since he picked her over Kevin and Camilla in the fantasy draft. It was killing me. I wanted to tell him so bad. I needed to rub it in. I needed to rub your face in it, Blake. Oh, man. I think we just had a very solid premiere of Survivor. I'm excited to talk about this. I'm excited to talk about some of the relationships, give a little behind the scenes tidbits because I was at the premiere event and I accidentally sat down next to David and didn't even realize at first. So I'm excited to dive into that story and what I kind of got just from reading the room and how it seemed. But this was, I thought, a really good start to the season. And I know that there's going to be some complaints. There always are. I know we're going to dive into these Survivor 50 topics and the way that one of the two questions was worded, which may or may not have been leading. It would be like if when you went to vote for president, it was like, you can vote for this party if you
don't want be a dumbass
and horribleness, or you can vote for this party if you want sunshine and butterflies. We'll talk all about that. But we're going to dive into this episode, these 18 new players and a new season of Survivor. That I'm really excited to get into. I'm pumped. I'm ready. Blake, bring the mood down. Bring the energy down.
No, I would never.
Not you.
It's interesting. I'm watching a 48th season of Survivor, and we're watching other reality shows. There's a lot of stuff to compete with us right now. Is Survivor still king when you're watching stuff? And it is kind of like, okay. This is the eighth season in a row now where I'm watching the exact same thing because we're not changing stuff up. And that's the only thing that's really going through my mind. Yes, I love Survivor, but I do want it to be a little bit different right now. I think it's the eighth straight time where we're explaining what Survivor is as a social game. Like it's the first time people are watching. Are you watching with first time people right now? But because if this is your 48th season, you're like, we get it. But like, every time you go play trivia, every time you are on an airplane, you always got to go through the minutia of make sure your seatbelt's on. And mm-hmm. I'm just tired of the seatbelt stuff. I put my headphones on when I'm on the plane. If I die in a plane crash, it's not going to be because my seatbelt's on or off. But like that's kind of how I feel about the Survivor first 20 seconds, first 20 minutes of like, my job will allow me to do this. And honestly, it's going to put me with people that may disagree with me. So, and I'm not quite sure how that's going to work. And I'm like, how are these sound bites still getting into the show 40 fucking times later?
So let me ask you this, Blake. Oh, do you think maybe you should just start with episode two next time?
I think so. I think it is a legitimate, like, I want to get to the meat potatoes. I feel like I want to hit the beach running faster than Say even was this time. I think she's probably the most aggressive player we have seen in 10 years. And it's very interesting to see her completely roll her eyes and be like, you're not making connections, as she's not listening to the people around her. Like, she's sitting with three girls and the two girls are wanting to vote her out. She's rolling her eyes at everything. She cares more about this idol than any other player. She's sharing it with the three guys. It seems like she is spreading herself so thin where as soon as somebody does get tired of her, and it did feel like that was what was happening.
Yeah.
I know we're jumping all around, but like, I feel like the main player that everyone's going to have an opinion on by the end of this episode is Sick. Mm-hmm. And it felt like even on Twitter or X, they were very excited and already ready to be like part of the conversation. So I think everybody's going to have opinion on Say, and it is very interesting. Like, I would say she's more like, we're seeing Captain Obvious is like, you forget Rome already. Like, Say didn't play her idol in the first time it had because she didn't have to. Like, I think her aggression is even more insane than Rome's.
I think what makes Say's so much more aggressive too, and I agree with you, I think Say is more aggressive than Rome. And the reason is she was aggressive also in creating alliances with the players. She was so aggressive in going to everybody. She went to the women. She went to the men. She went to Kevin when he got back. She was talking to everybody and trying to feel out everybody. And I thought that was great. Like, I really did. I feel like, look, you can get bogged down and okay, we're restarting. It is a new season of TV. Blake, you've watched 48 seasons, although rumor has it that
we've watched some Australia too.
You almost only just got to your 48th season or 47th season pretty recently when we did Every Season Matters.
Okay,
but
sure.
But my thing here is, and I really do want to focus on this a little. They have to reintroduce you to the show. There are people watching this that are friends with David who have never watched this show, who are friends with Justin, who are oh my God, our pizzeria manager. Every Friday night we go out and we see good old Justin and he tosses us a pie. They're going and they're watching this for the first time in a while. You got to get to know the cast in some way. And I do believe that this episode did a better job of getting to know this cast than so many other premieres have done. And I'm not just saying that because I was sitting there. I truly believe the Joe and Eva scene was incredible. Thomas is incredible. Shaheen is incredible. Like, they brought it. Star, I was surprised, was the one we heard the least from on that Purple Tribe. And I still feel like what we got from Star was solid. And then you turn around now and you go and you look at this Orange Tribe. David totally misread this guy in the pregame press. He does understand that he might not know the most about Survivor, but that's okay. He's out there playing anyway. And then you look at Kyle butchering everything he can, but then he gets the human moment with Kevin. Kevin, who hurts his shoulder, and we'll get more into that. And then he comes back and he starts playing. You know, he's able to get in with that alliance a little bit. I found the intros to these characters to be really, 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 really good. And I know I'm missing some and we'll get to them, but I feel like they did a great job of introducing the characters this time. And yeah, there's always going to be the mundanity, right? But are you the type of person who sits down and skips the intro? Or are you the person who watches the intro? Because when I'm watching Game of Thrones, and when I'm watching The Leftovers, and it drives my wife nuts, because even when we're watching old Survivor, I am watching the whole entire thing. And I love it. And I it puts me in the mood. And I think when you watch a premiere, the first 5 to 10 minutes can set the tone for an entire season. And I thought that the tone was set really well here. Mitch has a great intro. Chrissy has a great intro. Charity, really not so much of a great intro. But then again, that was your winner pick. So maybe that's why.
Oh my God.
I feel like
so mean to me.
Well, because you came out hot. I think you came out too hot.
I was just saying it's 48 seasons. I think stuff that is cool is like we had a crazy injury but then we don't really say how crazy it is. And like, as you're during the commercials, you're looking at what Mike Bloom has to say. You're looking at what Dalton Ross has to say. Oh, his arm literally fell out of his body, much like Stephanie LaGrossa. And like, he passed out and they had to bring in the entire thing. You're like, why is that not being shown or whatever? And it's so crazy to me. Kevin, literally, I think his tribe picked him to do everything. Yeah. You go get the club, go make the puzzle, go grab the, I go give Jeff the flint that we lost. Go fight the other guy, go fight Kyle for our supplies. It's like, this dude just passed out in front of all of you guys, and you're like, no, you're still the best one to go. Is crazy to me. Of like, give the guy a break, or make that be like your main strategy of like, okay, now that the five of us who didn't pass out at the challenge are back here, and we're clearly going to vote him out first, right? I think Kevin was an interesting character too, because he is such a golden retriever in every sense of what that is said. Of like, I completely had him different of what I thought he would be. I thought he'd be like, I guess we're like using the word cerebral these days, but like, it truly feels like he is going to be like, somebody's going to go. He reminds me of Eddie Fox is yes. what's going in my yes. head of like, oh, you're going to get dragged, or what are we going to do with Kevin?
Yeah. And the one thing I want to say about Kevin is I did find Kevin much more compelling, and there was much more to him than what I anticipated coming into this. He was my first boot pick. I thought he was going to be kind of he's too into himself. He doesn't realize how he's coming across. I honestly think the shoulder injury might have been the best thing for him in this first episode, because it forced him to take a step back and say, whoa, I got to see where I'm at here. But I've dislocated both of my shoulders numerous times. It is unbelievably painful. It totally sucks.
I mean, do it right now if you can.
I could. I mean, if I literally reached too far back, I could. One time I reached up, and I probably told this story on this podcast, but I reached up over the top of a truck bed that had not been down. So I'm standing on the ground, and I reached over the top to grab something, and it popped out. So my arm was stuck, and I couldn't get it over the top of the truck bed. So I was telling the guy I'm working with, I'm like, come over here, get it. And he couldn't get it. Like, he was like, I can't look at that. That's disgusting. I'm like, dude, you need to lower the truck bed so I can get my arm out of the truck. Him being under the net when this happens, that sucks. Like, he's in the mud.
Could you put a puzzle together 2 days after you did this? Or
you can. Oh yeah. No, you can. If you dislocate your shoulder, as Patrick Stahl says, the first the sublocation is free. It's true. Like, once it pops out, it goes back in. It's really, really sore. If you can get it back in, it sucks. But it's like, I mean, I've never had surgery on either one of my shoulders. It's just like, I don't also go for one-handed rebounds when the ball's above my head anymore in basketball. Like, so anyway, I think like being stuck under that net, that really, really, really sucks. So I felt for Kevin in that for sure.
Another thing that I thought was interesting for the first challenge is like, we're doing a lot. I guess to finish the injury talk, how many of the first eight seasons of New Era have we had an injury in the first episode?
It's been a lot.
I feel like it's all the time. And at a certain point, you want to be like, hey, can we vote on make the first couple episodes of challenges easy so we can ease our people in? Because like, I think one thing I joke about is every year when I had a kickball league, that first time I'm running to first base after kicking it, no matter how much practice I would do, I would never full on sprint to first base until it actually happens. And I'm pulling something and being like, oh, that would suck. But like, don't have these people do breakneck speed things or like crazy challenge. Like, have the first challenge be like a get to know you challenge, like from Survivor Amazon from way back then.
I also want to bring this up though. They did remove, like, you're not going to hit your head the way Bruce did. Like, it was a net. Although I'll tell you what, Kyle was trying to figure out a way to smash his head into it. That man went through that net.
Did he have a bump on his head?
No, he just went through the net three times. And every time he got up to the net, he'd like sprint and just like plop. It was kind of like Mo trying to jump in that one challenge. It was really funny. But I thought the challenge was a good start. I was shocked that David didn't go shirtless. And so I will say, like, I was sitting next to him at the premiere and I turned to him and I'm like, dude, you're shirtless in everything. You're not shirtless in this. He said, good things come to those who wait. And then sure enough, he got shirtless as soon as they got back to camp. Let's throw up this quote, this from Jay Burn Aquatic here, since he gave us a little bit of cash here. That's always nice. Kevin, Mitch, and Chrissy got Matt talk edit. Is that winner? So these were the people that really got a lot of Matt talk at the beginning. what did you think about the Matt talk as we dive into the beginning of this episode?
I think that's equal parts. Like, are you a brand new watcher? Are you, cause like we have some people that like are never going to get out of the old era of like seasons 1 through 7 are the best. And like, oh, look, we mentioned Christy from season 6. You remember her? And then they get fed and they're like, yes, Christy mentioned.
They didn't say Christy's name, so it does not count for our over-under game.
They alluded
to her name was crazy. Not said. I'm just saying.
Why did they do? They said Yule's name, though.
And they did say Yule, so that's one.
I think that is something where if you were – clearly this is a new thing for Survivor in the last 4 years of we want this show to be a part of your life. It is a touchstone for you. It is a cultural icon thing. And this is where this touchstone and cultural icon came in for our current people that are on the show. They're going to say why they're doing this. They're going to say who they're inspired by. And maybe Kevin can be the next Yule, or he could be his own thing outside of Yule and whatchamacallit, inspire the next generation. And it seems like this is something they've been trying to do for 4 years. I think the idea of that they're saying of like, it's a year-long celebration of Survivor with ending in 50. The fans are in your hands or whatever the hell. And you're like, okay, I guess this is very important to the show to show this off. And I think as somebody who's a little more cynical, as somebody that loves some villains, it doesn't seem like we have our cynical. We had somebody saying back up the bus. I don't know everybody's name yet because I don't do near as much as preseason
Say
stuff.
Say was doing all the, I rode the, or no, that was Camilla with Camilla. I got the bus and I kept going.
Camilla,
back
I'm backing up the bus. I'm like, okay, that's a confessional I would make in my life. Like, but like of these 18 people, how many of them are cynical or how many of them are confessionals that I would myself say? It's interesting that it's like, we've got a lot of golden retriever energy. We got a lot of Survivor is so important to me. We got a lot of I'm doing this for the greater good. We have some of the biggest hero bites I think we've seen in 4 years too. So it feels like we have aggressive gameplay and it's hero time. Like, and it was just so prevalent of we're going to be a hero here with Joe. Like, I don't know how you watch that thing with Joe and Eva and be like, oh, I hate either one of those, but like, I feel like it could be like, this is super sweet, like too sickly sweet. If you're a cynical person, like a Randy or whatever, Randy's going to be the only person who's like, I hope they both lose and get 17th and 16th place. But like pretty much everyone else is going to be like, okay, Joe is willing to quote unquote, I'm going to make like, I may not even play the best game I could play, because I want this person to feel safe on the island and I want to be there for them is like, holy crap. I haven't seen that in forever.
Yeah. I don't want to jump too far ahead because the Joe and Eva thing is excellent, but I do, I want to like stay a little, cause that happens so much later in the episode.
I just don't, I'm bouncing around because it's like, there's so much of the, like the exits are in front of you and behind you. And I'm like, la, 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 la.
I know. One at a time. Well, I just got a text that said that Say broke Tony's record for most confessionals in an episode in this episode with 21. So I just wanted to say that. That's insane. All right. Let's do this then. Let's talk about this Joe and Eva relationship, because Joe and Eva. So when I was at this premiere, they sat right in front of me. They were right in front of me. And
side
so
by
was,
side,
they were. And I was watching. I mean, most of the cast was side by side, but yes, Joe and Eva were right in front of me.
I need exact seating chart so I can.
Dude, I have a pretty good memory. Yeah, I have a pretty good pretty good memory. But no, Joe and Eva. Like, I think it's very clear from this episode. Look, I don't know anything. I just know what I watched in the premiere. I've known nothing. Okay. I watched that episode and I think that is one of the most sincere relationships we've literally ever seen in the history of the show. And I'm not being dramatic. Like, I understand. I'm not saying it's the best relationship. Look, we've watched one episode, but that interaction was one of the most sincere interactions I've ever seen in Survivor. And I love that. And it reminds me of Kentucky Joe and Elizabeth all the way back in season 2. I mean, you got to go way back. But that's what it reminds me of. Pascal and Nalia, I guess, are another example. This is the type of relationship that has kind of vanished from the show a little bit as people have gotten a lot more selfish about playing. And I'll be honest, like, I don't know if I'm giving my game up to ensure that Eva can go further in the game. Like, there's no way. So, Joe, you're the bigger man, both figuratively and literally. So that's good. But I just really, really, really loved and appreciated this. Like, this was so sincere, so heartfelt. Joe getting choked up over it. I mean, Joe made me cry twice in this episode. He made me cry twice in the same week because I mean, knowing the backstory of the domestic violence with his sister, and that's why he went on the show, and to watch his clip at the beginning was very emotional. I found it to be probably one of the most emotional openings to a season. That was great. And so we see that. And then later in the show, now we're already attached to this guy and we watch him and see him and knowing what he went through with the domestic violence with his sister and how he lost his sister and how she's his inspiration to play Survivor. And he gets on a season with Eva, who needs somebody like Joe so badly. That's the type of shit that's just like poetic. It's so poetic. And I shouldn't have said shit during that beautiful moment, but it's just that it's so good. It's so good. Trevor Eisenhower said, man, Phil's crying now. Come on. Cry way too often watching stuff. Blake doesn't cry. You go to Blake. I just,
this purple tribe so is, I think this is one episode in. Green tribe, not a fan. Purple tribe, they put all the juice from the entire season on the purple tribe. They clearly have probably the three best dudes, and they probably have like who's the other person I'm missing?
Bianca.
Bianca is the one where it's like she's six in my mind of like, I don't know much about her, but it feels like the purple tribe is like, get ready because they're about to either steamroll everybody. All their relationships are going to be the most important. We got the most developed. We got an alliance name. I don't know when's the first time we had a first episode of a season with an alliance name. I thought it was pretty interesting of like them being like, I was never going to vote, be with the dudes. And then there were the dudes and you're like, okay, what's going on here? But I think the other thing I want to say about Eva real quick, it's Eva or Eva, making Eva. Sure. Eva. I always screwed up. Eva. Okay. Eva, it's very apparent. Boom. She does get along with those hockey players. Yeah. Like it is such a, I don't know how many of you guys are entrenched in hockey culture. I have watched more hockey games than baseball, more hockey games than basketball. I've watched more football games than hockey, but she is a hockey player through and through. Yeah. She is muscle. She is motor. I think it makes so much sense of who she's going to get together with, how her brain works. I thought it was very interesting of like, if I just go grab bamboo until I fall over, nobody's going to complain. And if that's what I just do for 4 hours, like I'll be good. I thought that's an interesting, like behind the scenes of a first day for somebody who's not used to, or who can't do the normal game plan mm-hmm. of her brain literally can't do. I'm going to just have good conversations with everyone. Cause we had somebody like Stephanie Berger who goes home first, do the normal. I'm going to get to know everybody so I can do a game plan. We have a couple people talk conversations about that. So I thought it was interesting seeing Eva have the opposite of like, I am going to, this isn't a final two alliance. This is me saying you are my brother out here and I need someone to be there for me. If it goes sideways, will you do that for me? And having somebody who we know that he lost a sister, basically being like, I'll be your survivor sister here. Will you be my survivor brother? I think that's probably something very healing. I'm sure we'll hear something about this. And whenever Jeff hypes up the season and goes, there's going to be some moments on this season that transcend the show. And in my mind, I immediately go cynical and roll my eyes. I'm like, come on, like, what can we do? I'm trying to get through the airplane noise of him saying that, mm-hmm. but this is starting to be like, wow, this purple tribe feels like the one to watch. If you can change your picks to pick more purple for week two of whatever fantasy league you're in, I would slam purple, put all my money on purple if I was in Vegas and this was a thing.
I totally agree with you. I think that the winner of this season's coming from purple as an initial reaction. I think, okay, let's talk about the California girls. Let's talk about the California girls. This had to have you pumped, Blake, out of your mind. The California girls are Shaheen, Thomas, who is you, and he's probably more positive you, but still you, and Joe. And these are the California girls. And the line of "were the California girls bro" is like one of my favorite lines in Survivor history. And I love Thomas. See, this is what I think is so great about how Survivor in the new era went so far down a path of, when I go play Survivor, if I'm a gay man, I'm going to align with other gay men or women or something like that. Like, I'm going to go in with a game plan, and that's what I'm going to stick to. We've seen so many people be like, I want to work with the women, women only, and now I'm just going to work with women. And that they talk about that as a serious strategy. Thomas is somebody coming out into this game saying, I'm probably going to work with the women, and I'm probably going to work with guys who aren't very physical. Who does he end up aligning with? All the guys. And Super Bianca. Joe. What was that?
Super Joe. Like
Super Joe.
Yeah, he's the Superman. Like, I think that is a clear, like, antithesis of, like, the in Survivor, in reality shows, it's like, who are gay men's number one enemy? Like, the people that value strength or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, that is a thing. But I think that's interesting of, like, we're even bringing this up now when we shouldn't or don't have to this time around. But I think it's interesting to be, like, it's refreshing that we don't have to be like, oh, it just went straight down the line, and like, it's Eva with the boys and Thomas with the girls, and just like, oh my god, not this stuff again.
And it's awesome to see him literally just be like, I can't believe I'm doing, but this is actually what makes the most sense. Like, this makes the most sense for my game. And Shaheen saying the same thing. I never expected this. Now, Joe, I think, came out there and said, I'm going to align with whoever makes the hell most sense. But the willingness to play the game that makes the most sense. Don't worry about what the internet's going to say. Look, if we get a final three of Joe, Shaheen, and Thomas, is the internet going to explode? Yeah, Blake is crossing himself. I hope demons don't show up behind you just over me saying that. But the internet might explode because, God forbid, we have an all-male final three. But if that's your all-male final three, I don't think we're getting the bro mentality that so many people in this community really hate. So good for Thomas. He is a confessional machine. Him and Shaheen as narrators, somebody had said it in the chat and I lost it, but they said two of the best narrators are on Purple, and it's Shaheen and Thomas. They are phenomenal narrators, and they are killing it with what we have seen so far. And I'm just really, and they have a different style of how they're approaching it, and they both get it away. They both get it over in very clear ways. Purple is who I'm rooting for after episode number one. No offense to the other two tribes.
Okay, so if Purple is amazing and Green is like, what are we doing here? Where is Orange fall? Is it closer to Purple or closer to Green?
Okay, first I want to talk about Green, because what I am finding compelling about Green is that I feel that most people are going to feel the same way you and I do, where they are the weakest of the three tribes as a whole, but they're the one who went to tribal council. So why do we feel that way? Like, they're the one that we actually spent the most amount of time with. I thought was phenomenal.
I know exactly why.
But I think Cedric and Kevin and Say and Justin trying to figure out the puzzle was fun. Stephanie was kind of out there, but it worked. And then Kevin was doing his thing. But what is it that's just not making them like gel in a way that is making these other two tribes seem more electric? And Purple really is just like an electric tribe at the start here.
I think Green, what's going on through my head is we have Say and we have every opinion from her. Mm-hmm. We know everything. I think there was a time where Say was talking to Justin and Say is saying her opinion, And then it's going to go flip to Justin. And then he just doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, that's kind of weird. I think it was where he was holding a stick, listening to her talk about what to do with the idol. Cedric, I need help with this thing. We never have a Cedric opinion of like, I don't know why somebody's putting a puzzle box in my face right away and trying to share this with everyone. But like, why is Say so gung-ho on this? We do have Mary on the wrong side of all this stuff. So she's going to be the one with the wrong decision, mm-hmm. quote unquote, after episode one. But she's the other person who's like, Say is really pushing us around. And then Kevin is the golden retriever energy. So it's like, who is going to have a strong enough voice to challenge Say? Or is this just going to be the Say show for a little bit on this tribe? And it is kind of like, who's going to get closer to her? I thought it was a really interesting way to play Survivor of being like, I need to have a group of four before day one is over. Mm-hmm. And Kevin is trying to win us our supplies. I don't really connect with Stephanie. So like there's literally only three other people and she doesn't try to get very close with Mary. I don't think we have a say in Mary conversation or say talking about Mary unless I blew it. But like, it is like she just immediately goes to the guys and like, these are people I can rely on. And I think she has talked to Kevin maybe 15 seconds.
Yeah.
Like he gets home and then she literally pulls him in like, you're with us. And he's like, this is great. And he's already had a conversation with Mary and been like, I love you. So it's he's not even talking to her first. And it's like, say, how do you feel this confident to say to these people, like, do wait a day. Open that Beware Vantage on day two. Come back to it. Mm-hmm. And like, I think the reason why she got 21 confessionals is because all the alliances are going through her because she's forcing them. And then it is puzzle box time. So like it did make sense. We were, and then she went to
2 hours.
It's a two hour episode.
And her tribe loses. So there's a lot going on there.
Right. And it was just all, we care about her opinion and everyone else is going to fall in line. And like, I do think it's interesting that we're like, did Say have a chance of going home at the end of episode one? Cause I think when you do spend 21 confessionals on someone, it's usually because they are burning out bright instead of, I don't know. There's two lines of thinking. It's like, is she the winner? And we're like, let's have somebody get 9,500 confessionals over a 13 episode season. Or is it like, we only have one episode of her. So you're going to get all of her right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, do I think that Say could ultimately blow up in the next episode and get voted out next? Sure. St. Cliffo says in not very nice terms, is Mary in trouble? We'll read it as that way. But like, I don't necessarily think Mary is just done here because if Say gets too chaotic, they could definitely vote her out. So, yeah, I think that Say at this moment, that her game is going to diverge in two ways. Either she is going to run this green tribe and dominate, or she is going to become too much for the green tribe and she's going to be too aggressive and she's going to want to have too much control. And eventually the other group is going to say, look, we still have the numbers. Let's just get rid of Say. We can blindside her with the idol. She'll never see it coming. I could absolutely see that happening. So I just want to throw that in there real quick. Also, we're at the 30-minute mark. Like this video and subscribe to the channel. If you haven't done those things, please like the video. Like the video, like the video, like the video. It helps a lot. And I am supposed to start off the episode for saying that, but I didn't. So thank you. Please do it now.
One thought I do want to talk about before we blow past this completely. It's another permutation of Sweat or Savvy or versus, and both these people last time, TK and Asia, went home in the first three episodes because they couldn't really connect to their tribe. Was it because of the set and Sweat and Savvy? And like Kevin and Kyle. Kyle breaks his own water jug in one of the biggest, like, are you guys paying attention at all? Are you guys just going 100 miles per hour? Like, is there any finesse going in your mind? I know you're not hungry on day 0.5.
I think it's like, adrenaline. I think you're I think it was adrenaline, man. You could break anything if you got enough adrenaline going.
What I'm trying to say with that too is like, and now I'm going to help Kevin pour water in. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, what a cool moment, but not really. I'm like, where's the killer instinct of my survivor players of like, maybe I can't win the challenge anymore. But like, I do think it's more interesting whenever somebody, like, I think it was Jelinski, like threw the thing and broke it. Like I like that energy more than
you
like,
do. Producers don't.
But like, let me help you pour water into your jug so we can be done quicker.
So like, Jeff, what? Okay. So here you go. Ready? Like, so in the talk afterwards, Jeff had said that he was up there with Alon, who's the creator of Exploding Kittens. And they were up there and they were talking about this moment in the premiere specifically. And Jeff had said, when he talked to Alon said, it's not your job to make the players do what the players are doing. Your job is give the players the tools and then let the players do what they need to do. And this was one of the moments that Jeff really highlighted because he said, Kyle breaks this. and he could say, screw this, I'm throwing it in the water, I'm going to go storm off down the beach, stomp my feet, and I'm going to make Kevin finish this puzzle, this challenge. Or he could help Kevin and potentially build a relationship for future and further in the game that could help him just by being like, dude, I messed up. Let me at least be a good dude so you don't have to sit here and do this with your messed up shoulder over and over and over and over again. So I appreciated what Kyle did here because I think it asks the question of, did Kyle do this to hurry this up? Or did Kyle do this because it was like, I'm doing this for a strategic purpose. My tribe is going to be really pissed off when I come back with nothing. And so at least now maybe I have an in if there's a tribe swap or a merge or something in the future. I respect it. And I'm in on it. And honestly, I think Kyle probably did it just for being a nice guy. But who knows?
I'm throwing like, bro, if you are Kevin and you're like, I've had 9 days with you guys on green. It's been so great. Only three of us made the swap because we're one of the worst pre-merge tribes ever, and we voted out three people. I like Kyle a lot. He helped me 9 days ago. Let's get him on our side. It's like, you're a bad enough player. Like, that cannot be something that you build on and, like, whatever. Like, I know there's a lot of interpersonal tribe things that we've been doing since, like, what is it, Guatemala at this point, or Exile Island, of, like, you guys can both be in a secret thing and learn more about each other. But like, has anybody hooked up after a journey and had it be a major alliance point in the last five seasons?
Maybe not an alliance point, but the Austin sandwich situation was a huge deal.
Right. And it's like,
but that was a huge deal. It was.
She prevented me from getting a sandwich. Yeah. I think that was just something where I'm like, okay, do we have killer instinct or do we have killer nice? And like, I don't want to kill people with niceties. Like, that's not my style. I do miss the Emily Flippins and Courtney from China. It's Courtney Merritt. No, it's not. Courtney Diaz Twine. Courtney.
I've said Yates 12 times. You just
Courtney Yates. Oh, go ahead. I miss the Courtney Yates and Emily Flippins of the world that'll go, you helped him? Like, what are you doing? Like, how can we trust you? Or somebody to send it back Jeff's way of a Jonathan Pinner being like, you're really asking him who he fell in love with the show with, Jeff? Can you take a break? Like, of course we all love you, Jeff. We're here. You need to hear it from all 15 of us. Like, I want some of that energy. I know it's, the producers don't really love that because it challenges them after they eat breakfast and doesn't go exactly to schedule. And it's like, those are all the fun moments for the audience though.
Yeah.
Like I think that's one thing that I always go back to is when we're doing our Rushmores or what we love about Survivor. Do we ever say the thought process of, oh, Jonathan Pinner had a really good soundbite about his job and how it worked together. No, it's like, we like it because he's an asshole and he like jaws a whole bunch, but he can get everyone together during a tribe challenge and win. And it's like, okay, like I want more of that. It's episode one, but I'm like, where's my villains at? I want to do some of this. And it was interesting seeing some of these people where it's like, Mitch has a great story. He's telling everything. And it's like, am I allowed to root against Mitch ever again? Or am I like a bad person if I'm like, I hope Mitch goes
home? Okay, here's a question. But he compared himself to Christy. If Christy came back and played on Survivor Heroes versus Villains, would she have been a hero or a villain?
I mean, she'd be a hero because she was against Jenna Maraska, right?
I don't know. Some of her gameplay was pretty villainous. I'm just saying. Like, no, I think with Mitch and with like Eva, if they come out and they play in an aggressive, villainous way, like, yeah, you can absolutely be against them. I think that's another thing in this community. Sometimes people are like, they latch on to the identity of a person and therefore they can't be bad. They are good. And they latch on to the identity of somebody else. And then they're bad. They're not good. I think it's like, whatever. I mean, I just think Mitch's story of when Jeff says to him, why have you been doing this for so long? And Jeff said, and what took you so long to get here? And he's like, I've been trying for 20 seasons or 20 years. It's like, yeah, Jeff, we've all been trying for a really long time. There's diehard fans out there who are probably going to say that. And it's like getting in front of you is not easy. It's not easy to get to that point. So I really, I think that the cast, I think the cast came out solid. I forget what the point was at the beginning, how you got to this point. But yeah, I think you can root against Mitch if you want to. I think if you're rooting against Mitch after this episode, there's something wrong with you. But like, I feel like there's no reason to be against Mitch. I feel like Mitch is a very positive guy. I actually think, so let's talk about, we never really actually got to the point of the Orange Tribe, right? But the Orange Tribe, we have Chrissy, we have Charity, we have Mitch, we have David.
Noah.
Who?
Camilla.
Camilla. Yes. Thank you. And who's the other guy now that you threw me off? Kyle. Yes. What's your takeaway from this group?
I think I'm going to like Chrissy as much as I thought I would. And she's somebody that, like, every time she's going to explain something about her life, love her accent. She's a classic Survivor player in my mind. Like, I think for every time we're like, we want something new and different. She is the old Reese's peanut butter taste that Survivor's had for years. And I'm excited to be like, is she going to go far? Well, who is she going to get into an argument if she does? I think Charity seemed like she was being a little bit more passive than I thought she would be. Of like, there was somebody talking about like how they would do things. And she was like, I don't know. They ended up getting second, so they almost blew the puzzle, right? They were the people that almost blew the puzzle?
They were losing the beginning. They came back on the really physical part. David killed it to get the
thing crazy.
Up to the top. It was insane. And then they did the puzzle. Green took the lead, but Green's puzzle was falling apart. And this is like a note to anybody who's going to go out and play Survivor. Push, you got to make sure those pieces stay aligned. That's why you always see people hitting both sides as they're going up. You can't go behind the puzzle. Like, you have to do it from one side. The back side of the puzzle, these puzzles are double-sided, right? And the reason that they're double-sided is so that the audience can watch and the cameras can be set up while on the other side, the players are putting it together. So you can't go on the other side of the puzzle and fix that. So you have to be pushing them in together. And the Green Tribe totally miscalculated that, and it was going to fall over, which allowed Orange to make the comeback and ultimately win. The standouts to me, so here's my quick thoughts on the Orange Tribe, because I do feel we spent the least amount of time with them, so maybe that's why.
Yeah, it's still a recap. What do you think about Orange?
Well, so here's the thing. We get the moment of, you can tell a lot about a person based on their favorite movie, how they like their steak, and I forget what the third one was. And then this is when we get David saying Notting Hill is his favorite movie. Chrissy says she's never seen it. And then he says, I'm just a boy standing in front of a girl.
Garden? Those are crazy movies.
Yeah. That's like when people say my favorite band is the Beatles, and it's like, okay, who's your second favorite band? And it's like, I don't know, like Metallica. It's like, okay, you
actually Death Cab for Cutie.
Yeah, it's like you actually like Metallica. You just feel like you're supposed to say the Beatles. Same thing with the Godfather. People are like, that's my favorite movie. And their second favorite movie is like Happy Gilmore. And you're like, okay, so you actually love Happy Gilmore. You just want to sound smart by saying the Godfather. Holes in the Departed was a crazy, crazy one-two punch.
One thought process that I had when Kyle mentioned, those are my favorite movies too. Do you believe that from Kyle?
Yeah, you just be lying.
Or Kyle's lying, right? I think Kyle's main strategy, because he's the person who came up the strategy of, I'm going to be average. I'm going to be aggressively average. I'm going to be average, average, average. I think that's the word he was using. And I think that's a thing where I'm going to lie. I'm going to say I'm a teacher instead of a lawyer. Like, he's going all in on, like, I need to just be what people want me to be instead of who I truly am, which is kind of those people where, like, I prefer someone like Marianne instead of somebody who's going to be like somebody they're not the whole time and hope it works out. But I was like, how are you going to go the two craziest movies I've ever heard of somebody? I mean, Departed is one you hear sometimes, but yeah. How are you going to go, those are my exact two as well? And like, the next question literally has to be like, what's your favorite part about Holes? And then if he doesn't have a story, it's like, bro,
I like that his name
Stanley
is
Yelnats, bro.
Yeah, like, Yelnats, bro. When the shoes get thrown off the bridge and land on him, and turns out that that's why he got sent. Come on, man. Come on. Or when he gets bit in the vase by the snake. See, I've seen holes.
How many onions did you eat the last time you watched Holes, bro?
Yeah, what is it? The peaches? Peaches and the onions.
Oh my god.
Anyway, so
monsters.
So we get that, and we get that moment.
How do we get none of that? Just did whenever they say Holes. How do they?
No,
not...
because they focused on the how do you like your steak? And Charity says she likes it medium well, And then we get the Kyle confessional of medium well, she might be a psychopath or something like that.
I think it was medium well done, right?
Or yeah, she did say medium well done, which as a Texan, that's got to kill you, right?
I stick at medium. I have enough stomach problems already. Yeah. I don't need to.
Yeah, I've already been to see a Cedric type once. I don't need to go see a Cedric type twice. So I go medium rare, but I'll never go. You never go medium well. Come on. You're killing. It's already dead. Like, what are you doing?
The medium is where you go. I think the other, I think we're in the more of like fun conversations thing. The butt doctor thing, I think, was a fun enough thing. Like, oh, clearly that's why Cedric got on. Yeah. Like, talking about my kids, they're not impressed that I'm a doctor. They're almost pissed about it because, like, why couldn't you be a good doctor? Why do you have to be a butt doctor? That's a hilarious joke. I feel like he has told 20 years and gets the same thing every time. And, like, what better place to do that when you're meeting your five people in your tribe washing off the mud? Like, yeah, I think he's probably not going anywhere on green of like, he's already a mentor to say, and it feels like his opinion will be valued. And like, as long as he doesn't completely botch a physical challenge, he'll be good.
Yeah. Mary, say they're both in line in front of him. And if Kevin's shoulder ends up being a problem, like Cedric and Justin are cruising until there's a merge or a swap or something coming up. But back over on Orange now. So in terms of where I see the tribe dynamic, Kyle and Camilla, very clear that they're getting along. They have so much in common. There's the movies that it was that they're both Guyanese, which is a very small island. And ow, that was crazy. I know. Just like crazy, crazy, crazy stuff.
Come on, Castine, what are you doing?
So
people are from California and we have two Guyanese on the same tribe.
The two of them are doing very, very well. And then we have David. And David really, 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 really surprised me. David is a lot more endearing than I thought he would be. I thought he would come across as like, I think I'm funny, but I'm not actually as funny. I feel like the tribe was loving him. I feel like he was doing the physical part, but then also had the social part. And in terms of like humanity, we might have gotten the most from him other than Eva and Joe tonight. Because when he's talking about, what does he have the line of like, I'm a hopeless romantic stuck in a football player's
jock's body.
Jock's body. That's what it was, a jock's body. And so that's shaped a lot of the decisions I've made in my life. But that's not the personality he's giving out at all to the rest of his tribe. He's the first one to spot one of the symbols, which we'll have to talk about the symbols in a second.
You love the symbols.
I did love the symbols. I thought it was a very fun idea. But he's bonding with everybody. And then we have Chrissy coming in, and Camilla's trying to throw Charity under the bus and keep running her over. So we have Chrissy coming into it being like, well, she doesn't talk to me. Charity's on the outs over there. And I think it's very clear that she is in the worst position by a lot out of that group of six. And I thought it was going to be David versus Camilla. It seems like David, Camilla, Chrissy, and Kyle have kind of formed the four-person alliance over there. And I will be interested to see where Mitch lands, because I have no feel at all for where Mitch stands with the rest of his
tribe. I mean, did Mitch talk about anything after the first?
I don't know about a confessional beyond the opening. I don't know.
I mean, whoever did I know they can't do the confessionals that fast, but they did figure out Say had 21. I'm wondering who was the least amount of confessionals, but like, I think that is something where like, I think it's worth talking about of like, if you are on a tribe with someone who has a stuttering problem, I do think that is the first couple days are going to be pretty hard. There's going to be some challenges that you're going to get frustrated of like, hey, we needed to communicate better. There's a thing. And until you work that out or come to an understanding, I think there was those growing pains back in season six with Christy. Like, I think that's probably why he's on the beach, just so we can have those conversations, see what is this a disability? No, not really. It's something we can work through. And I think that's just another reason of, oh, this is season 48, but there's going to be moments that you've never seen before. Instead of people rolling their eyes and excommunicating him and being like, I don't want to do with it. Like, maybe he'll find his Joe over the next couple episodes that are like, don't worry. Like, I'm sure Chrissy has helped so many people in Chicago that like somebody who needs some extra help on her tribe, she's not going to be like, too bad, so sad, I'm here for $1 million, like the most of the rest of us assholes would. And yeah. I think that's why you do cast some of these helpers, heroes and hustlers. And like, this feels like a heroes, hustlers, helpers, like, cast to me.
Yeah. And like, I'm just warning everybody right now as Blake talks. Sorry, Blake. I just want to warn everybody that I'm trying to go on Survivor Sucks right now to get a confessional count. So if my computer crashes, the stream crashes, it's because of Survivor Sucks. So go ahead, Blake.
Captain Obvious apparently says, speak for yourself, Blake. So he would, like, carry Mitch to the end or whatever. But, like, Mitch doesn't need carrying. I think it is interesting of these are conversations we're having literally almost 25 seasons or 25 years into this of if somebody was had a stutter on your tribe, could you guys work through it and figure it out? And I think that's something where instead of being like, I don't want that as a producer, like, let's all cross this together and see what happens and like whatever happens. And like, same thing with autism. Like, I think this is our first like full on, like,
it's the first person on the spectrum. Yeah.
I have autism. I'm on the spectrum, and this is something that's going to be either shared with people or not shared. Or I think this is something where this is where I can get back into this game of like, it's, we're done with the airplane noise. On episode 3 or 4, some of this will come up, and I'm not waiting for people to fall in a hole and be like, you didn't treat your tribe mate that has some, that has autism the right way. Like, I hope that's not where this goes. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I hate when it gets dicey that way. Like, I'd rather just people get in arguments. Like, I hate where you put your machete and you're stupid instead of like other stuff comes into play. But like, I'm excited for those moments to layer. And like, I think this did a really good job of setting the tone and like storylines. And I
agree.
I don't know if this is my favorite premiere ever, but it is a building for a lot.
Wow. So you're over here. The episode started with, here's everything I hate about the premiere. And now you're like considering this one of the better premieres, it sounds like.
That is exactly what I did not say, but go for it, Keith.
Well, you said it wasn't your favorite. You didn't think it was your favorite. If you don't think it's your favorite, that means you're thinking about what are my other favorites. But no, I do get what you're saying. I feel like this was a really solid episode. I feel like it dove into the characters really well. Let's talk though, because we're already at 50 minutes and I don't want this to be a 2-hour freaking episode. I got to go to bed at some point. Let's talk about the symbols and everything. So they're doing the Beware Advantage again, but they've put a new twist on the Beware Advantage.
And it's all different for every tribe.
It is different for every tribe. And I thought that was very interesting, but here's what I also want to commend the editors for on this. This is something I really do want to commend the editors for.
Commend them.
They set this up and began it with the Orange Tribe. And the Orange Tribe is walking around, and David and Mitch are actually the first ones to spot it. And David says something to Mitch, and Mitch is like, I don't know. And like, maybe it means nothing. And we see these black images all over the place. Okay. Now we go.
There's a letter written on a tree.
Wait, but hang on.
Nothing.
I know. But then, okay, now we get a commercial, and we go to the next one. And the next one is Star saying, I think I might need an idol, so I'm going to start looking around. So Star starts looking for an idol, and we see the one symbol up on the sign. Then we get, I think, and then we get Say finding her idol up in the tree, or the, you know, the cryptogram thing. Then we get another commercial. Then we come back, and then we get Say finally starting to realize the different images, and she thought they were road signs or whatever, which is incredible. But Fish Road is great. That might be the name of the new podcast, Fish Road. So now she's going around and now she's putting it together. The editors let that story tell itself over the course of the whole episode. They gave it a beginning, a middle, and an end, rather than just being like, we got to get all this in, hurry up, get it in. They normally, like, you think about when Rome and Gabe were going after their idols last year, it was, all right, let's pack as much of this in as we possibly can and get this storyline out of the way. This was set up as if you were watching a real scripted TV show where they would sit down and they would say, okay, this is where the character starts. Let's cut to other characters. Here's the midpoint of that A storyline. Let's cut to other characters. Here's the finale of that storyline. I thought this was so well handled. And I do think this is more fun. You know, you have 90-minute episodes. Go ahead, mix it up. Give them something else. Another thing that Jeff had said at this premiere event was they like when people start to feel really comfortable and then they like to pull the rug out. And right now people are getting really comfortable with Beware Advantages. So I do feel like people are going to Beware Advantages could be tricky in the future is essentially what Jeff was hinting at in this premiere thing. Was he said people are, we like when they get comfortable and then we change it up. And that's what was happening there.
We like them anyway. To get comfortable, and then we as producers go,
Yeah, exactly. You know, and now all of a sudden Beware Advantage more, and we're seeing the Beware Advantages get more and more difficult as this goes on. So, you know, this was probably the most complicated version of the Beware Advantage yet, and I liked it.
By the way, if you're wondering who Jay Byrne thinks is gonna win this season,
there it is, David.
It is David. Thank you, Jay Byrne.
He loves the guys, the big strong guys.
Okay, what's the official title we're gonna use for David? Are we allowed to say himbo? Is that a thing we can do?
Beefcake,
or is it muscle man? Or what do you want to do?
I want to call him David.
Okay, come on. Beefcake David.
I'm sure we're going to get a nickname from him at some point. We're going to get something at some point. It'll happen. But you were talking about confessionals earlier, and I guess you didn't get to give your thoughts on the symbols. So if you want to do that, but here's the confessionals. Oh. Bianca and Chrissy both only got one. Charity, Justin, and Star got two. Cedric, Mary, and Mitch got three. Say got 21. Kevin got 13. Kyle got 10. So all of those hit the prop bet game. How many do you think Thomas got?
I'm going to say 8.
He got 4.
What?
It felt like a lot more, right? Thomas and Shaheen both only got 4. Same with Joe and David. And I feel like they were much more prevalent on this episode. Eva, Camilla, Stephanie with 6.
21 for Say seems insane when you're telling me the rest of them.
Oh, like, that number is the most ridiculous number ever. So 21 from Say is a truly astronomical, unbelievable number. Truly.
I think the other thing we teased earlier and haven't said is, hey, it's me, Jeff Probst. Make sure you go vote for all your favorite things using this QR code. And then,
did you vote?
No, I haven't yet. I'm gonna do it on my West Coast time whenever I watch it with my friend in like an hour.
Well, we're gonna all watch it together next week.
Oh my God, I can't wait. Yeah, that's another teaser. Quit teasing. Okay, so what did it exactly say about Final Four making, and what is your opinion of why they said this?
All right, so hold on, let me pull this up. So it's Survivor 50 vote. Hold on, let me see if I can get this up.
Survivor,
well, because the problem is I don't have it at the ready here, and I should have, but you put me here. We go. Okay, so the first question is, let's start with the players' buffs. Choose the tribe colors you would like to see for Survivor 50.
Boring. Now, who cares?
Yeah, I don't care about that. I chose option A. I know a lot of people are going with C. I think rice or no rice. Camp life. Do you want to make it a bit easier on the tribes and let them start with a supply of rice? Or do you want them to earn their rice through effort or sacrifice? Give them rice, make them earn rice. That's pretty neutral. It is that.
Give them rice.
I say give them rice too. That's what I voted for. But that's the wording on that, which I think is accurate. You are saying it would make their life easier to have rice, or we can make it more difficult without rice. Here's Final Four fire making. Okay, let's get into some gameplay. The Final Four fire-making showdown has delivered some of the most dramatic moments in Survivor history, but not every fan is on board. Where do you stand? Keep it? It gives players control of their destiny. Lose it? Let them vote someone out just like the early seasons. Is that leading or what?
I think what's crazy is they're like, the fire-making is what caused the outrageous moments. It's like, no, it's the 20 to 30 some days of storytelling that is going to have a finality no matter what. And it's, what do you think is more interesting? All right, Phil, you're up for fire making. Or I go, hey, Phil, we've been friends the whole time, but I'm voting you out. I'm backstabbing you to make my go at it and your toast. Like, oh, I wish Phil got one more chance. And like, I do think we had the most thrilling fire making ever last season. And it's like, is that what you remember about 47?
I also don't think that was the most thrilling fire making by really any means.
Who cares? Like,
no, I know, but they are pitching it like it was, and I honestly don't really feel like it was all that insane. But what are you voting for?
I please let people vote people out at Final Four and Final Three. Please.
Really? Yeah. I mean, well, you're not getting a Final Two. So what would you rather have here? Would you rather have fire or no fire at Final Four?
No fire for me. I do not care. The last day of, I just haven't practiced fire enough. And can you help me? I'm tired of those. It feels like the plane is landing. If we're going to stick with my analogy from the beginning of like, everybody's like, put up your table, take your headphones off. It's like, I know all this. Let me just land the plane. Hurry up. Let's get up.
I personally am voting to keep fire. I am. No, and my reason is this. If they don't have fire, the biggest threat just never has a chance unless they win immunity at the end. And very rarely are you going to get two worthy people in the final tribal council. Think about season 33. Think about season 31. Think about season 32.
I can't think about anything besides season 48. Maybe there's something.
But this is the truth. Season 31, we have Kelly Wentworth just miss it. So it's a blowout. Season 32, we have Sydney just miss it. Michelle beats Aubrey. So that's okay. Because it's Michelle. But also, like, that was a good final three. Season 33, David Wright gets voted out. So Adam dominates in the final tribal. Season 34, it's a closer vote. Ty probably doesn't win, but I'm just saying this is what happens. Most of the time, the second most worthy player or the first most worthy player, depending on who wins immunity, doesn't make it. And if a person wins the final immunity challenge, more often than not, they think that there's one person who can beat them and one who can't, and one that we all as an audience are like, that person's going to kick the shit out of you. How do you not see that? So they vote out one of the threatening people, and the other one just wipes the floor with them. And so I truly believe that at least, look, Jesse goes home at Final Four, but Jesse had a chance to make Final Three. He doesn't have a chance to make Final Three in this. And you can say, oh, he's got to play better, blah, blah, blah. No. I think it is more interesting. Would I rather watch Gabler versus Cassidy versus Owen or Jesse versus Gabler versus Cassidy or Jesse versus Gabler versus Owen? I'd rather watch one of the latter. Like, you have to want the best possible final three, because final tribal council, here's the biggest problem with Survivor. The tribal councils and the final tribal council have become so redundant and boring. They've become boring. Tonight, Stephanie Berger gets voted out at tribal council. And yes, it's exciting a little because you're like, okay, could Say realistically go here? But as soon as Stephanie says, I'm playing my shot in the dark, you know that Say didn't have the votes. And so often at these tribal councils, like, well, it's between these two people. Jeff is asking questions that we don't really care about. It's already been resolved, whatever. And at final tribal, so often we're going to final tribal already knowing who won, either because of the edit or because of something else. Without fire making, we don't get Wendell versus Dom. That's huge. And I truly believe, and I've said this a couple times now since the news came out, if you want to check out my Survivor 50 video, I give my honest reaction to everything Jeff said. I truly, truly, truly believe that had the first fire making challenge that was forced, because obviously there were fire making challenges before that, but had the first forced final making challenge not been in Healers versus Hustlers, had it not been in season 35, which gave Ben another advantage after it felt like Ben was getting advantage after advantage, it gets Devin kicked out of the game and leads to Ben beating Chrissy. Had that not been the scenario for the first one, I don't think people would be so against it. But that is the one that people use as the example more often than not. And it happened 8 years ago. I'm done.
All right. Just
I didn't even say Heroes, Healers, Hustlers right.
Just because it happens 8 years ago doesn't mean it's not the freshest in our minds. You know, we needed Chrissy Hoffbeck to be a winner of Survivor. That's the good timeline. All of us are employed. Eggs are $2. that's where that went sideways. Was that long ago? And until Joe and Eva win joint Survivor 48, we can't get $2 eggs anymore. And we're just used to our $2 eggs, the Survivor version of it. Like, now whenever you go on Survivor and they give you eggs with chickens with eggs, that's worth more than the grand prize almost. So I get what you're saying. And what I want to say is, you're like, oh, we wouldn't have gotten Wendell versus Dom. but we would have gotten Dom as a winner, a dominant winner.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an interesting way to end Ghost Island 2 of, oh, I outsmarted you at Final Four and you're gone. And sorry, bud.
Like, you think it would have been interesting to watch Dom wipe the floor with
Donathan
and Angela?
Oh, no, really? Not at all, obviously. But
come on.
But it is there are some, like, that's how we used to play. Like, they would have to change their strategy. Jesse would have had to keep Cody at Final Six because he needs more shields. Like, the people would play to what is actually happening instead of, like, oh, there's a parachute. Even if I lose, I can make a survivor fire and get out of there.
And I do feel, though, and we'll get to that in a sec.
Let's go.
But I do feel that a lot of the exciting gameplay that we want to see in late in seasons, right? Like when Jesse does boot Cody, we don't get that if there's no Final Four fire making. Players are going to play less aggressively late because they are going to be thinking about what's the best way to keep my threat level down. That's just my take. Carson Howard. Would have been awesome to see Ozzy in 23, Brett in 19, or David in 33 to make Final Tribal. And they would have likely all had a good chance in fire, in my opinion. If Brett wins 19, that's worse than Natalie winning 19. But Ozzy and David, I agree with. Well, Brett maybe would have gotten an edit had that happened.
Company would have gone through the roof. I think what's interesting is there are shoulda, coulda, wouldas. Mm-hmm. For every hobby you've ever done, for every movie you've ever seen, for every TV show that you're currently watching, there's a shoulda, coulda, woulda of what if Stephanie Berger had done a little bit of extra stuff? What if Say had been less aggressive? I think the shoulda, coulda, woulda's of fire making have happened, and it's been a long time since fire making has been around. So if changing the format is getting rid of it, I would appreciate a change of the format.
You want to hear something?
If it's going to be old school versus new school in 450, I think going back to no fire making is the old school layer that we could pair with a final three of new school, even though final three has been around since Cook Islands.
This is how I feel. We can vote out fire. There's going to be a fire making challenge in 50 anyway.
Okay.
They'll vote the 2-2.
Here is the grossest, most negative thing Blake is going to say.
No, don't do it. I mean,
this is the grossest.
It better actually not be really gross and not.
No. Negative. It's more cynical about the votes are in your hands. The votes are in your hands. Each week, you're going to have four things to vote on. I think the Survivor producers, instead of doing, hey, we're going to listen to the fans, we're going to do it, and we're going to put out the best season we can for 50. Trust us. They're taking all responsibility out of their hands. So if 50 is a freaking mess and doesn't live up to the hype at all, like 40 didn't live up to the hype, kind of, in some people's opinions, they can go, honestly, it's what the fans wanted. Like, I don't know why you're pointing fingers at us when we gave you full control and that piece of shit season happened. And, like, because how could 50 fill the bill for every single era of fans? It's impossible. I think that some people have been saying that. I don't think it's particularly impossible because I've watched it and been a fan the entire time. I feel like Shane took it upon himself to make a tweet of, like, here's all the guys you should put on, here's all the girls that she could put on. And I was like, damn, that's a pretty good freaking list, Shane.
You talking about the Brandon Hance, Shane Powers, Richard?
No, that was his joke one.
I hope. But
I do think if it's not our fault, nobody can be mad at us. And the fan, it's in your hands, fans. And if you ruin it, we gave you a chance. And if it does go bad, now we can choose any other option that you guys left on the table for the rest of all time and go, we tried with no fire making and it was really bad. So now fire making's around forever. And you're just like, God damn it. Like, I want this to be like for the next six seasons, we do these changes, not just for 50.
Yeah, look, I hear where you're cynical. Like, I think that's a fair cynical point to make. I do just feel like when it comes to this, the cast is going to be what makes or break this season, and Jeff and the producers know that. They know it. They know it. They know it. They know it. The cast is going to have to play the game, and the cast is going to be killer no matter what 18 to 20 people they choose. It will be killer, and that's going to be a fact. Like, it is going to be a great cast, and as long as that cast is out there, they'll figure out the rest, and they will. They will figure out the rest. So I think it's fine. The last question, by the way, was live reunion versus after show. If it's not the
after show's reunion, crazy.
if it's not live reunion, I might be done podcasting. Oh, so, yeah, I just look, I think that that's fair all across the board there. I do understand what you're saying, but I think ultimately it'll be fine. So, all right, let's jump into some quick prop bet stuff. Joe cried a physical tear. Say cried a physical tear. Say had 10 or more confessionals in an episode. She also had the episode title.
Does she get it double if she goes to 20?
No, of Get to Know You game? No, she doesn't. But she's almost to 40 or more confessionals in the season. Stephanie had 5 or less votes cast against her throughout the season, had a confessional in every episode, and used her shot in the dark. Kevin also had 10 or more confessionals in an episode, and so did Kevin. So, I'm sorry, Kevin and Kyle. I'm going to... Yeah, that's you just said the same name twice. Yeah, that's going to kill me. Kevin and Kyle both doing it did not help. Kevin, Kyle. That's all of that stuff right there. In terms of the over-under game, we got a Yule Kwan reference, so that's one person. I think we might have gotten a Boston Rob, too, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, but I think Boston Rob was said. I'll have to rewatch that, or if somebody notices or can send me the clip, let's do that. Otherwise, Will and I will be doing Digging Deeper tomorrow, since Blake's obviously here. We'll be going live.
I've already dug, bro.
Yeah, we've already dug. We're going to be going live at 7:45 p.m. Eastern time with our Digging Deeper episode. And then we will be watching the traders and then doing a recap of the traders after that. So if you haven't been watching our traders coverage, go check that out. If you haven't watched Blake and I do Deal or No Deal Island coverage, we just put out our latest episode today. So go check out some of our Deal or No Deal Island coverage. It's been great. And then McKenna and I are doing Australian Survivor Brain vs. Brawn 2. So if all of you are sitting here saying, man, I really wish that Phil was doing Australian Survivor like I've heard so many times, go back and count it. No, St. Clippo says you're not counting Chris. They do not say Christie's name. Christie's name is not said in the episode of television. It is not said. The player has to be mentioned. She is not said. They could be talking about anybody. I don't know. Maybe they just showed Christie. I don't know. Janet Koff was there too. Should we be talking about Janet Koff?
Who's doing Amazing Race 37 with you?
Phil? It's going to be McKenna and Kyle. I think I'm not doing Amazing Race this year. I give up. But
that
let me do the Patreon before people leave. Patreon.com/thespecialist. Go check out what we're doing over there. If you want to get in on our power rankings game, power rankings start this weekend. My first guest at 11:30 a.m. Eastern time on Sunday morning, which I will be on the West Coast. So it'll be 8:30 for me. But 11:30 a.m. Eastern time on Sunday morning will be Rome. Of course, you all knew that was coming. Come on. You all knew that was coming. So Rome will be the first guest. Super excited to have him on. We'll be doing that one. Doing our
prediction. Is there anybody else or is it Rome alone?
It's Rome alone. Got him. So again, patreon.com/specialist. If you want to play the power rankings game, you get a chance to win a prize there. So go ahead and check that out. Become a patron. Also, you get all these extra episodes. McKenna and I are doing Brain vs. Brawn 1 over on the Patreon alongside Brain vs. Brawn 2, which is for YouTube. I'm going to have my after show coming out tomorrow. We are getting into fans versus favorites for Every Season Matters. That's super exciting. That's a big one. We got the Rock Draw. We got Casting Perspective. We got a whole bunch of stuff. John and I are still doing movie podcasts. And, you know, it's just exciting times. Exciting times. Our Patreon is insane. It's just going off all the time. So go check all of that stuff out if you're interested. Patreon.com/thespecialist. The last thing I want to say here, because I feel like it needs to be shouted out, and I'm sure that nobody's listening at this point, but just in the off chance that people still are, and Shaheen is for some reason listening, or somebody from season 48 is listening, the funniest part of the premiere episode for me watching it in New York City, Shaheen was over to my left in front of me, and he was sitting with his mother, I believe. And so when they show that clip where he says, 1 ounce of preparation is worth a pound of inspiration or whatever. He literally turned and looked at everybody and said, I've never said that in my life. it was the funniest thing. I was dying because like, where did that come from? And Shaheen does not give off the vibe of that at all. So I thought that was like the funniest thing in the world. And I just wanted to shout that out. Also, I did get to meet some of the players. And I, like I said, I sat next to David Kinney. If you become a patron, I tell the whole story of how I accidentally sat next to David and didn't realize he was awesome. Really nice guy. He's super friendly. And when they did the clip at the end for the next time on Survivor, and they said, I have four nipples, he started dying. And he's like, man, they're showing everything. So just to see the reactions.
There were cameras the whole time?
Right. Just to see some of the reactions of people as they're going through and seeing that episode. It was really awesome. If you ever get to experience that, it's really, really cool. So I just wanted
to say. Who were the three people that weren't at the premiere? I want to cross check something.
It was Charity, Say, and Justin, I think.
I was about to say, Say has 21 confessionals yeah. and isn't in New York, and everyone's just like, oh crap, this is the
shut
state.
Up. Yeah. No, it's really great. And so I'm really excited for this season, and we have so much other stuff going on. If you want to hear all of my Survivor 50 takes, I've already said I put out a video of the Survivor 50 honest reaction where I talk about everything that I heard that night and what I feel and how I feel that this is going to go and what's worth it and what's not. Otherwise, I'm done. I'm going to bed. I'll see you all tomorrow night, 7:45 Eastern time. And then that'll be for Digging Deeper. And then again, after the Traders, Will and I will be recapping that. And then I'm off until Sunday when I'm on with Rome for our predictions and power rankings for episode number 2. Thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this. Like the video, subscribe to the channel, and we will see you next time.
See ya.